Country Pop FM.
Time for today's almanac, Thursday, January 18th, 18th day of the year. Neil is here.
Good morning.
Got here just in time for the almanac.
Yeah, with a little prep time.
Today is the 18th day of the year, 347 days left to go, 2018. 1778, English navigator Captain James Cook discovered the Hawaiian Islands, but he called it the Sandwich Islands. They should have left it at the Sandwich Islands.
I like that.
Sandwich, Hawaii. There would have been a lot of promotional and a lot of marketing opportunity with that.
Absolutely.
I mean, just think of the sponsors. You could have Subway, Jimmy John's, all these others,
right.
Herberts and Gerberts. They could all be a part of the whole Sandwich Island thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
1788, 10 years later, the first English settlers arrived in Australia at Australia's Botany Bay, establishing a penal colony. That's why there's so many bad people in Australia, is because that's where England sent all their bad people. That was penal colony in 1788. Go put them on an island. That's what they say. Put them all on an island. And that's what Britain did. They actually did that. Put them all on an island.
Wow.
The group moved north 8 days later, settled at what's called Port Jackson. Now, Botany Bay, I know that term because that was Khan's ship.
Really?
That's the ship that he was in when the Enterprise found him.
Oh.
In Space Seed on Star Trek, Botany Bay. Botany Bay? 1911, for the first time, an aircraft landed on a ship. And it wasn't an aircraft carrier. They just landed on a ship. Pilot Eugene B. Ely flew onto the deck of the USS Pennsylvania in San Francisco Harbor this date, 1911, proving that aircraft carriers would work.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years later until they had it wasn't until World War. Did World War I have aircraft carriers?
I don't think so.
They did, because that was, you know, more in Europe and more land-based.
Yeah.
It would have been World War II. And
we barely had planes in 1911.
The Pacific Theater is where they really came into play, as you know.
Well,
that was in 1911. 1929 on radio.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jurgens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who thinks every American has at least one thing to be thankful for on Thursday next. Thankful that we still salute a flag and not a shirt.
Oh, there's Walter Winchell. They'll be eating turkey and not eagle on that Thanksgiving Day. Walter Winchell, he was kind of the first radio star of his day. 1929, he made his radio debut. You know, he came up with some pretty good donuts, too.
Yes.
Winchell's donuts were very tasty.
He had a very stately manner about the way he spoke there.
Stately Wayne manner, if you will.
Yes.
1952, here today, we remember Curly. Sounds like me trying to start the lawnmower. He made more noises than he had actual dialogue.
Right.
In the Three Stooges. I mean, so many great, nyak, nyak, nyak. I mean, that's my favorite right there.
The slapping of the hands, you know.
And you looked it up on how he died. Yes. It was pretty interesting on how he died. Jerome Lester Horowitz was his real name.
Yes. He was one of the three Howard brothers that performed with the Three Stooges. Mo and Shemp, of course, were his brothers, but he died of a massive cerebral hemorrhage. He had health problems. By the time he was 45 or so, he started going downhill. He had a couple of strokes. But all them, you know, all the hammers to the head and the...
Well, have they ever brought that up? You know, CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, this thing we talk about in the NFL? I'm sure Curly had that.
Curly had it. Like,
how could he not have had it?
Hit over the head with... you know, a mallet.
And was Mo ever charged?
Anvil.
Did they ever investigate Mo
for
Curly's death?
I would think he was a person of interest, but they were never able to get enough goods on him.
So Curly died 48 on this date in 52. In 58...
Willie O'Ree of the Boston Bruins, a native of Fredericton, New Brunswick, is the first Negro to play in the National Hockey League.
It must be quite an exciting thing, isn't it, to get into an NHL game?
No, it was the greatest thrill of my life, I believe. I'll always remember this day.
Willie O'Ree, he was the Jackie Robinson of the National Hockey League of hockey, professional hockey, made his debut in Montreal with the Boston Bruins on this date. I met Willie O'Ree. He came to one of our minor league games, interviewed him, and it was just an absolute treat to talk to him. And he's still around, still making appearances, dropping ceremonial pucks and doing those things. With Martin Luther King Jr. Day just happening, and of course February's Black History Month, he'll be involved in that, I'm sure.
Very cool. What I wonder how long his career lasted.
He played quite a bit. It was at least 11 years or so.
That's awesome.
That was in 58. 64, this song and this group made its Billboard debut.
I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
You've heard of it? You've heard of them, the Beatles?
It does ring a bell.
I Want to Hold Your Hand debuted on the Billboard chart this date in 1964. It debuted at number 35. It would go to number one, as just about every Beatles song that was released after that went to number. I mean, they dominated the top five. There were weeks where their songs were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like a Fave Five.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That was
so
in 64. 67, Albert DeSalvo, he was the Boston Strangler, convicted of his crimes. 1967 on this date, and after that in 67, there's no way as a wrestler could you take that moniker.
No.
Boston Strangler, you just couldn't do it.
No.
67 and 75, we heard this for the first time. The Jeffersons were spun off from the Bunkers and All in the Family.
In the sky.
Deluxe apartment in the sky. Beans are burning on the kitchen, the grill, and all that good stuff. And, of course, that's Helen burning those beans. Don't burn the beans.
No.
So the Jeffersons, and that theme song, by the way, being sung, as we've mentioned it before, but I need to remind you, that's sung by Wilona from Good Times, in case you didn't know it. Tidbits galore here on the Almanac. 1990, this date. Marion Barry was in the news. And Chris Rock had some comments about it.
How the hell did Marion Barry get his job back? Smoke crack got his job back. How the hell did that happen? I mean, if you get caught smoking crack at McDonald's, you can't get your job back. That's right. They're not going to trust you around the Happy Meals.
This was the date that Marion Barry was arrested. Remember, he was caught on tape smoking crack cocaine.
Right.
1990, this date, he was arrested. And then, again, he got his job back.
Yeah.
He became a mayor again. They re-elected him. That was in 1990. 1996 in the news.
The most famous pool player in the world died today. Whether it's rotation, eight ball, or nine ball, he was the champ. He was born Rudolph Wanderon, but everyone knew him as Minnesota Fats. At one time, tipping the scales at 245 pounds.
Oh, my God, 245 pounds. That's huge. He just wasn't very tall.
Must not have been.
He was rotund. He was Minnesota Fats, not his real name, and really had no connection to Minnesota.
No, it was bizarre.
It was a character in the movie, it was in pool movie, was it The Hustler?
The Hustler, yeah.
The movie with Jackie Gleason isn't
Newman.
It? Yeah. And he took his name from that book because he said that they based the character on him.
Right.
So he just took the name. Oh, I'm now Minnesota Fats.
Yeah.
And at the funeral, his siblings, trans fats and saturated fats, also showed up.
Well, that was kind of
It was only fitting for them to be there. That was in 96. Also, same day, Lisa Marie Presley filed for divorce from Michael Jackson. What do you say about that?
Well,
they thought it would never last.
They thought it would never last, and it didn't.
20 months, and it wasn't even that long. 20 months.
They split sooner than that.
Yes, it's like when a sports game, you say it wasn't even that close. That's what you say about weddings and marriages like that.
Yeah.
So that was 96. 2011.
But this will be my last year on this show. No, I know. It's been a long time. It's been 28 years. It is a time that, you know, everything must come to an end for certain people on camera, especially certain old people.
Regis Philbin, he's still around making people laugh, but it was a state 2011. He said he was leaving his daytime show with Kelly. And of course, before that, it was with Kathy Lee, 2011. You know, we shared some heartbreak, two heartbreaks yesterday for the Vikings. And you know, I didn't even realize that until yesterday when I put the almanac together for yesterday, that both of those games are on the exact same date, the 98 NFC Championship and the 87 NFC Championship. So we had some Vikings heartbreak. Why not some misery for Packers fans today?
Wilson toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl. Jermaine Kearse.
This day, 2015, and the 2014 NFC Championship game. Seahawks over the Packers in overtime. 28-22.
That's a shame.
Poor Packers. Yeah. And, of course, the Seahawks would then lose to the Patriots because they threw the interception at the goal line. Oops. Bad play call.
Ill-advised.
And then 2016, this date, an eagle was no longer soaring.
Good evening. Thanks very much for joining us. The breaking news tonight is sad. A founding member of one of the most popular music acts of all time has died. Glenn Frey, guitarist and co-founder and co-writer for the Eagles, was just 67 years old, and he was, quite simply, a rock star.
67 was the age for Glenn Frey. He passed away on this date. Let's move on to birthdays to now. Happy birthday.
I love those little things in my ear that you say when there's no one near. Little things that you do.
Bobby Goldsboro is having a birthday at 77th today. Honey. See the funny little clown?
Watching Bobby grow.
Yes. Was it Bobby or Scotty?
Scotty. I just read something about a Bobby here. Yeah.
Well, his name is Bobby. Bobby Goldsboro. He's the great Bobby Goldsboro. He had some crossover country. Some of those songs crossed over country. He's 77 today. He was the Million Dollar Man.
And what it all comes down to is this. Money isn't everything. It's the only thing. And everyone has a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Ted DiBiase, Mean Gene. Oh, yeah, nice little cameo from Mean Gene Okerlund.
Love that.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, and his henchman, Virgil. He is 64 today. Back in the 80s, that was a big Thompson Twins guy. Lead singer for the Thompson Twins, Tom Bailey. Good stuff right there. He is 64. This guy has been in a lot of good movies.
Hey, is this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
That's one of them, Field of Dreams. Kevin Costner, director, actor. He's a country performer. He has his own country band.
Yeah, he is.
I can't remember what it's called. Clever, as I recall.
I love
but
Open Range.
What's your favorite Kevin Costner film?
I like Open Range. Field of Dreams, certainly in the top three. But
Waterworld?
That
probably
one didn't
not.
Do as
no.
well.
No, it did
but,
not.
Open he, range with him and Robert Duvall. It's good Western. Tin Cup was excellent.
Costner, 63.
I was born.
Untouchables, I liked it.
I was born.
Mark Colley, a Bob FM artist.
Yeah.
62 today.
Even the man on the moon is crying.
He almost changed his name from Mark Colley to Mark Doberman Pinscher. Did you know that? He stuck with Colley. That was a good thing.
Probably a good idea.
Hard Lovin' Woman, another one of his good hits. Yeah. Mark Colley, 62. Mark Messier, former hockey star.
Pretty good player.
Multiple Stanley Cup winner with Edmonton and then with the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
57 for Mark Messier. Ooh, I didn't like Nellie Olson.
What did I tell you? Country girls don't even know what a blackboard is. Nellie.
I don't know how Miss Beadle put up with Nellie and Willie. I really don't.
Did she look the other way too often?
Well, no. She'd always put Willie in the corner. And obviously that wasn't a good enough deterrent because he continually misbehaved. They needed to do something else. I don't know what it was. They needed the gallows back there or something just to put a little threat. But anyway, when I was a kid, I didn't punch girls. But if there was one that I wanted to punch, it would have been Nellie Olson.
Well.
Followed closely by her mother, Harriet. Allison Arngrim, who played Nellie, 56 today. Happy birthday. That's right. Nellie Olson is 56.
I'm drinking till I forget the 1999 NFC Championship.
That game. The Vikings were 2 minutes away from going to the Super Bowl when our kicker, who hadn't missed all year, shanked a field goal, and we lost in overtime.
He was Marshall Erickson on How I Met Your Mother. He's from Minnesota. They needed a Minnesotan name for their show, and they went with Erickson. I'm more than okay with that.
Yeah.
More than okay with that. He was Marshall Erickson, and his father was Marvin Erickson, played by Dauber from Coach, Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother. He's been in a number of fun, good movies, including He's Slapping the Bass on I Love You, Man, with Paul Rudd, Jason Segel, 38 today.
All right. That's time. That's my cue for the Gone But Not Forgotten category. Lexicographer Peter Roget. He was the man behind Roget's thesaurus.
I use it every day.
And he is born on, he was born on this day in 1779. Dr. Thomas A. Watson, Mr. Watson, please come here, or something like that.
That's were the first words on telephone.
He was Alexander Graham Bell's assistant, and he took the first phone call. Now, they were in the same building, right, just opposite rooms.
The second words, when Thomas Watson came in, he first said, come here. And then the other one, are we happy with our long-distance carrier? That was the, those were the next words after that.
And
did you know that?
I didn't know that. But
you do now.
Again, another tidbit that you pick up here on the Almanac. Author A.A. Milne, double A, we called him. He, not a battery, he was a book writer, and he wrote Winnie the Pooh. He gave us that one, amongst others. A.A. Milne, 1882. 1854 for Watson. I don't know if I mentioned that. Actor, comedian, he was one half of one of the greatest comedy film duos of all time. There was Stan Laurel, and then there was his buddy, Oliver Hardy.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
What are we going to do? I'm scared to death.
There's only one thing to do. One of us will have to stay awake all night to keep her from cutting my throat.
Oh, that would... Please don't call. Don't cut Hardy's throat.
No.
Oh, he's got a couple of chins you got to work through.
Yeah, you got to have a sharp knife, believe me. Oliver Hardy was hilarious, and...
You know, I look at that again. I look at his picture. You know, he was seen as being rotund and fat. I look at him now, and he goes, he looks pretty much normal.
Right. And he was very light on his feet. Today. Don't kid yourself. Yeah. The guy could dance.
He's very Chris Farley-like. He was Chris Farley before Chris Farley, no doubt. I mean, he may have lived in a van down by the river. We don't know.
We don't know. Oliver Hardy was born on this day, 1892. One of the great actors of our time was Cary Grant.
How do we know he's not a fake? It looks like a fake.
Well, one thing we know, you're no fake. You're a genuine idiot.
Well, I guess if I had a nickel. Man. Yeah. Every time somebody told me that. 1904 for the great Cary Grant.
That was from North by Northwest. Cary Grant was in a few Hitchcock films.
Yes, he was. Emmy Award-winning entertainer, one of the most talented guys ever to appear on screen. He could sing, he could dance, he could act, he was funny. Danny Kaye.
When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Oh. I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, well, that's all right. I just misjudged the size of your snout.
You know, all the great things he did, all the movies, all the specials, all the shows, Danny Kaye would put at top of his list performing with Miss Piggy.
Well, he would have to. He would definitely have to. He was big into UNICEF. Remember that charitable organization?
You know
Danny Kaye was born in this day, 1913. You loved him in Singing in the Rain and White Christmas, two of my favorites. Clown Bob Bell. There's his horn. He played Bozo the Clown.
Do you need the clown in there?
No, just...
Do you need it? Is he going to be confused with Bozo, the district attorney?
I don't think so.
That's an old Seinfeld bit, and it's great, and it will never get old.
Yeah, if you just say Bozo, I think people can finish the sentence. His name was Bob Bell, not the Bobby Bell that terrorized Viking quarterback Joe Capp. This was a different Bob Bell, 1922. Inventor Ray Dolby, he gave us the Dolby sound system. You'd go to the movies, and, you know, before they would start, they would flash on the screen.
Now, big deal.
Dolby stereo.
The Bob sound. Morning Show is better in Dolby stereo.
For sure. He was born on this day, 1933. And one more from The Temptations. Rock and roll Hall of Famer, David Ruffin.
Better than that.
Pretty darn good. And they had the dance moves. They had the great harmonies. David Ruffin was a key member of the Temptations, and he was born on this day, 1941. They're all gone, but not forgotten.
You know what else is all gone?
The Almanac?
Our time for the Almanac. That's it. Done. Over. Thursday edition. You can catch it if you missed any of it. It'll be up in mybobcountry.com by noon today. And if not, you can find it under Funkin' Wagnall's porch, hermetically sealed envelopes, mayonnaise jars. You know the gig. Bob FM. She came to-